Okay. Well, before I get going, I'd really like to get, I'd like to pray. So, dear Heavenly Father, I feel privileged and blessed to be here. I'm grateful that I get to stand among a bunch of my church family, people I care about, people I love, and I like to see every one of them, Lord, to prosper this moment on. I like to see everyone here healed by your hand. I like to see everyone here, Lord, fall in love with you during this time of rededication, and to take this time, Lord, to stop for a moment and think of why and how important they are to you, and why you came to this earth to die for us, Lord, and how much you love us even before we were ever born, before our parents knew us, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for our valley and the people amongst our valley, Lord, that we can reach them, that we can be a light in this valley, a light in this world, and that we will live up to our expectations, Lord, that you had from us from the beginning. I pray, Lord, that we will stand strong and stand firm on the foundation that you built. And Lord, I pray that as I share the message that you has put before me, Lord, that I feel that you did everything but write it on my paper. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the heart that you've given me, the passion I have for you, and the spirit, Lord, of yours that dwells within me. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, that you will fill us so full that we can't help but pour out into others and be the beginning of so much, Lord, that you have requested us to be. I thank you in Jesus' name. I'm actually going to take this chair because I've been having a tough time standing. So, anyways, is this okay? It's a little loud. I'll try to talk a little lower if I can. So, anyways, a little reminder. In John at 5:46-47, for if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? In the first five books of the Bible, it's called the Torah, is also known as the Torah. And basically, that's the foundation of what Christ has taught throughout the years, taught us all, and what we've been mimicking from ever since we've learned. And I'm just so grateful that, since I've come here, it's been more enlightened in me, and I'm very thankful that a lot of you have poured yourselves into me as well. So, with that to say, I'm going to read what... I have actually something different than what is on the book, was given to me different. So I do not have Amos. So I'm going to share what was given to me. And it is Zechariah. Okay, and this is what I've come on. And it's kind of proper for this time. So I'm going to sit for a sec so I don't come and fall down and look like a goofball. So, Zechariah 14, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming and I will live among you. It is a declaration of Adonai. In that day, many nations will join themselves to Adonai, and they will be my people, and I will dwell among you. Then you will know that Adonai has sent me to you. Adonai will inherit Judah as his portion in the body, land, and will once again choose Jerusalem. Be silent before Adonai, all flesh, for he has aroused himself from his holy dwelling. Then he showed me Joshua, the Kohen Gadol, standing before the angel of Adonai, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Adonai said to Satan, Adonai rebukes you, the Satan. Indeed, Adonai has chosen Jerusalem, rebukes you. Is not this man plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua is wearing filthy garments and standing before the angel who answered and spoke to those standing before him, saying, remove those filthy garments from him. Then to Joshua he said, see, I removed your iniquity from you and will dress you with fine clothing. Then I said, place a clean turban on his head. So they put a pure turban on his head and clothed him with garments while the angel of Adonai stood by. Then the angel of Adonai exhorted Joshua, saying, thus says Adonai Zavot, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you will judge my house and watch over my courts. And I will give you a place and walk among these standing here. Listen well, Joshua, Kodin Gadol. Both you and your companions seated before you, because they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone I have laid before you, Joshua, is one stone with seven facets. On it I will engrave an inscription, declares Adonai, that I will remove the iniquity of this land in one day. And in that day, declares Adonai, so vote, every man will invite his neighbor to sit under the vine and the fig tree. Then the angel who had been speaking with me returned and woke me like a man who is awakened from the sleep. He asked me, what do you see? I replied, behold, I see a gold menorah with its bowl on the top of it and its seven lamps on it with seven pipes for the lamps that are on top of it. Also two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side of it. Then I responded by saying to the angel speaking with me, what are these, my Lord? The angel spoke with me and with responding, he asked me, do you not know what these are? I replied, no, my Lord. Then he responded to me by saying, this is my word. This is the word of Adonai to Zerubbabel, saying, not by my might, by my power, but by my rock, the Holy Spirit. Says Adonai, what are you, great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You who will become a plain, he will bring out the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Now with this, I felt like the Lord has been kind of pushing me and guiding me in directions, and it was almost like he just wrote this out. In John 14:23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our house with them. So basically, when we give ourselves to the Lord, he dwells within us. I think a lot of times we forget that when we do everything on our own power, and every time we do that, we seem to fail, guaranteed. A lot of us here have been receiving healing. A lot of us have been receiving blessings of all types, things that we don't deserve. The Lord has blessed us with them. 2 Corinthians 6:16, what arrangement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Okay, so back into Zechariah 3:1-2, he basically talks right here about rebuking Satan. So in Matthew 4:10, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. We can't serve money. We can't serve anything else. You know, I know at times, even when we pray, the enemy is putting things in our minds. I'm sure you've all been through there. We've all done it. You're praying next, you know, I'm thinking about a sandwich, or I'm thinking about something, you know, that has nothing to do with what you're praying about. You know, I've been there, you know. It happens. And I know I'm not the only one. So that's the enemy coming against you, because he wants to steal what the Lord basically has designed us to be. You know? In Revelations, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He has hurled to the earth and with his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of our Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accused them before our God day and night has been hurled down. Now, who of you have not understood or have not felt that during your life or during your day, you're going through about, and you feel like, God, something's not right, and you feel convicted over something, and you feel like, you know, I'm missing something. I feel a void. And a lot of times it's between, Satan is coming between you, and he's basically accusing you for whatever you've done wrong. It could be a thought, it could be whatever, you know, because we're constantly thinking. We're humans. We have a free will. And he comes against us, and he hates us because we are made in his image, the Lord's image, you know? And so he's going to do everything he can to steal us away, to steal our families, to steal our joy, to steal our futures. And I've been praying hard against this because in my family, I'm the oldest. I've always been the protector of my brothers and sisters, my children, my friends. You know, I've been that type. I was raised that way. And I feel as, you know, being here, as you guys, I'm older than a lot of you. And the sad thing is, and the good thing is I feel like it's my job to look after my family. And because now that I became here and I've been blessed to be part of this church, that it's my job, you know, as a man, as a husband, as a friend, as a brother, to look after you and do everything I possibly can. I when I wake in the morning, I'm grateful that the Lord, he's put you guys on my heart. He's put many of you on my heart. So I start to pray from the beginning when I wake up. You know, and it might sound really odd to some of you, but it's such a blessing because it's like you guys have been on my heart. And the goal is since I came here, you know, I look at Pastor and all that you've been through, Pastor, you know, and Pastor Wendy as well. A lot of us have been under attack. And because I love and care for you guys, it's like, who is looking after you guys? You guys are looking after the whole flock, but who's backing you? You know, so I'm going to do my best. I mean, I'm not saying anything, but I love you guys, and I feel like it's the responsibility of our church to look after you guys, to lift you up and edify you and to protect you, because if you guys are protected, our teachings are protected as well. So, Zechariah 3:2. Here, electronics. It does talk about the scene, and it says, but the archangel, Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him or for slander, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. So when we come against the Lord, it's not our power, it's not our might. The Lord has the power, the Lord has the might. He gave us, you know, he has the authority over everything, and Satan will always back off. He'll always back down because he has no power over the Lord, you know, at all. Exactly. You know, in Zechariah 3:4, it talks about the filthy garments, you know. In Revelation 19:8, the fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. So when we're cleansed, during this time of rededication, during the mitzvah, we came to cleanse ourselves, to rededicate ourselves, to start over, to get anew. You know, take that to heart. Seriously, take that to heart. And that's something that we got to remember, that how can we, if we're sick, go and heal and help other people if we ourselves are holding things inside? Grudges, anger, whatever it may be, you know. So we have to make sure that we ourselves are filled up so we can pour into others. And I'm speaking to myself as well, because if I'm so far from perfect, you know. So Zechariah 4, 3, let me go here, and basically it talks about the two olive trees, which I thought was really cool because now we're going a little further. So in Revelations 11, 3, 4, and I will appoint my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. They are the two olive trees and the two lampstands, and they will stand before the Lord of the earth. So in here, this is kind of like my little notes here. Believers in Christ are simply in the world physically present, but not of it. Not part of it, part of its values. So basically, we're not supposed to be part of the world's values. We see the world right now, and you watch the news, you just turn it on and you see this garbage that's being portrayed out to us and pushed on us and told that this is, we have to tolerate certain things, but yet the world will not tolerate the truth. They want to throw lies at us, they want to throw garbage at us, and we have to accept it. I'm sorry. We do not. That's the lie. We do not. Okay? In John 7, 14 to 15, I have given you word. I have given them word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So the Lord will protect us. You just got to keep asking. You got to keep after it. Like the woman or the gentleman kept knocking, you know, kept knocking, I need bread, I need bread. Finally, the guy gave him, I'll give him what he needs. The woman, you know, who kept asking, all right, I'll give you what you need. We got to be that. We have to be persistent. We have to be intentional of our walk, you know, and that's what I'm getting out of this. You know, as believers, we should be set apart from the world. This is the meaning of being holy and living a holy and righteous life, to be set apart. We are not to engage in the sinful activities of the world that the world promotes, nor are we to retain the insipid, corrupt mind that the world creates, lacking favor. We're not supposed to accept lack of favor. Rather, we are to conform ourselves and our minds to that of Jesus Christ. In Romans 12, 1, 2, I appeal to you for my brothers, for the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And this is a daily activity and a commitment. This is something that we have to commit to. This is something we have to practice. You know, we all, there's so many great teachers out there, but a lot of the teachers, there are also a lot of very bad ones out there as well that are basically padding their pockets. You know, we are very fortunate that we have a very humble church, and the people here really do honestly love one another, and that's I cannot say that enough. It's great to walk in the door and know that I can hug my brother or sister and truly mean it and say, I love you. It's good to see you. And I'm happy to see you. And I know when they tell me it, it's the same way. I feel it as well because it's earnest. Okay? So how do we stand out? And how are we set apart? In John 13, 34, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple, if you love one another. So how do we know we are his disciples? They will know us by our love. Well, I praise God for that. They will know us by our love.